But Pearl, not a whit startled at her mother's threats any more than mollified by her entreaties, now suddenly burst into a fit of passion, gesticulating violently and throwing her small figure into the most extravagant contortions. She accompanied this wild outbreak with piercing shrieks, which the woods reverberated on all sides, so that, alone as she was in her childish and unreasonable wrath, it seemed as if a hidden multitude were lending her their sympathy and encouragement. Seen in the brook once more was the shadowy wrath of Pearl's image, crowned and girdled with flowers, but stamping its foot, wildly gesticulating, and in the midst of all still pointing its small forefinger at Hester's bosom.
"I see what ails the child," whispered Hester to the clergyman,
and turning pale in spite of a strong effort to conceal her trouble and annoyance.
"Children will not abide any, the slightest change in the accustomed aspect of things that are daily before their eyes. Pearl misses something which she has always seen me wear."
"I pray you," answered the minister, "if thou hast any means of pacifying the child, do it forthwith. Save it were the cankered wrath of an old witch like Mistress Hibbins," added he, attempting to smile. "I know nothing that I would not sooner encounter than this passion in a child. In Pearl's young beauty, as in the wrinkled witch, it has a preternatural effect. Pacify her if thou lovest me." Hester turned again towards Pearl with a crimson blush upon her cheek, a conscious glance aside at the clergyman, and then a heavy sigh, while even before she had time to speak, the blush yielded to a deadly pallor.
"Pearl," said she sadly, "look down at thy feet, there, before thee, on the hither side of the brook."
The child turned her eyes to the point indicated, and there lay the scarlet letter, so close upon the margin of the stream that the gold embroidery was reflected in it.
"Bring it hither," said Hester. "Come thou and take it up," answered Pearl. "Was ever such a child?" observed Hester aside to the minister. "Oh, I have much to tell thee about her. But in very truth, she is right as regards this hateful token. I must bear its torture yet a little longer, only a few days longer, until we shall have left this region and look back hither as to a land which we have dreamed of. The forest cannot hide it. The mid-ocean shall take it from my hand and swallow it up forever."
With these words, she advanced to the margin of the brook, took up the scarlet letter, and fastened it again into her bosom. Hopefully, but a moment ago, as Hester had spoken of drowning it in the deep sea, there was a sense of inevitable doom upon her as she thus received back this deadly symbol from the hand of fate. She had flung it into infinite space. She had drawn an hour's free breath, and here again was the scarlet misery glittering on the old spot. So it ever is, whether thus typified or no, that an evil deed invests itself with the character of doom. Hester next gathered up the heavy tresses of her hair and confined them beneath her cap. As if there were a withering spell in the sad letter, her beauty, the warmth and richness of her womanhood, departed like fading sunshine, and a gray shadow seemed to fall across her. When the dreary change was wrought, she extended her hand to Pearl.